Hey, comic creators, artists, writers, world builders, this is your call to action. Here at Talking Comics, we love diving into the stories behind the story. Whether you're just starting out or you've been in the game for years, we want to hear your journey, your creative process, and what fuels your imagination. So, ready to talk comics with us? Message us or hit the link in our bio and be a guest on Talking Comics.
Welcome to Talking Comics. I appreciate you joining.
Well, thank you for letting me be on here.
Yeah, man. This week we got Dwayne Doherty, author of Liar, and some others too, right?
Yeah, Blood Sable and Crescent Blue, and my first kid's book, Shape Master, which was pretty cool that I did that one for my son too, which was awesome.
Awesome, and a kid's book. Yeah. Well, before we go into all your comics, give us a little background about yourself.
Well, I am Dwayne Doherty. I grew up in Arkansas, went to school at a little tiny 964, population town called Magazine, Arkansas. I had, the blessings to go play college football at a HBCU, Arkansas Baptist College. I played there for 2 years, and then I went and played at Pocon College in Muskogee for a year. And then after that, I went back to Arkansas Baptist College, and I coached the running backs there for a semester, which was pretty awesome. So I got all that in for a little while, did all my dreams there. I got to play and coach. And then after that, I decided to move to Oklahoma. I met my wife, and around when my son was born in 2015, I started having a bunch of, inspiration to get back into art, because I picked it up in high school. I was good at doing portraits of people like Abraham Lincoln and Teddy Roosevelt. I used to do awesome on portraits and stuff like that. And so when my wife finally, saw some of my art, she's like, "Hey, honey, just create your own stuff." She said, "I think you'll be good at doing it." So one of my first characters was Blood Sable. I made it for my son. He has autism, and I wanted to make a character that, represented his strength. But then I created Crescent Blue. He's my bubble manipulating master, because I love mages in any type of form of media. So I wanted my own type of, crazy looking mage. And then I made Liar, one of my own kind of demon character. So I just kind of just started in 2015, started my own little universe, and just started building my own little world. And so far, thank God I've had a couple books, published, and, I'm slowly just churning the tables, and I'm here with Liar now. So, life's come full circle. I just wanted to do art and play football. And so far I've been able to accomplish both of those. Yeah. So, yeah, the blessings came my way. Yeah. And I have a family. I wanted to have my own family one day. So, I got 3-for-1 special.
3-for-1. That's yeah. Amazing. Yeah. Did you do the first two on Kickstarter as well, or?
Yeah, I did Crescent Blue first on Kickstarter, and it funded. It got to, I asked for a $500 goal, and it went across, got $500 for that, which was awesome. And then I did Blood Sable, and that one was my biggest. I asked for $800. I got almost $1,000 on that one, so that one was pretty awesome. And then I did Shape Master. I wanted to see if people wanted to enjoy my first kid's book, Credit for My Son. My son is pretty much my biggest inspiration for coming back into art. So when I did Shape Master, I did just a small go to see if anybody was, wanted to get it for their kids. And people showed up for that, which was pretty awesome. So Shape Master did good. And now I'm here with Liar, my first horror comic that I've had behind the scenes for like 2 or 3 years. I started drawing it in, 2019, and now I'm here in 2025. So it's been a while. So, I'm blessed to be here to do Liar.
That's awesome, man. What advice would you give other people doing Kickstarter?
Make sure you have your rewards ahead of time. Make sure you plan what you want to put out there. Because when I first started Kickstarter, I was like throwing things at the wall, hoping they would stick. I think, honestly, you need to make sure you plan before you just get on to Kickstarter. You need to make sure you have the tools ahead of time. You got to have the arrows in your quiver. You can't just go in there and be like, "I'm just going to ask for this amount of money and hope people, want to get it." It's not how it works that way. People, they quick at looking at stuff, and if they see something they like, they'll buy it. So make sure you have the best, art available. Make sure you have everything done, because people love to get books that are done first. I've seen that time and time again. People don't like to wait years for books. I've seen it on Kickstarter. There's been people who've waited over 3 years for a book and it's not done. People hate artists and creators like that who make you wait for years. They don't like that at all.
Right.
And it'll destroy your Kickstarter campaign as soon as you launch it. If you say, "I'm not done with the book yet," you might as well just cancel your project, because it's not going to get funded. I've seen it happen time and time again.
Right. I dealt with that in the board game industry. I backed several. I used to own a board game store, And I would bought back several board games, but they took, you know, a year and a half, 2 years to come in. And it's like, you almost forget you bought it. And then the box shows up one day, 2 years later, and you're like, oh,
yeah. I've seen it on Kickstarter. Like, people are like, hey, I've got the concepts for my book, but I'm not finished. Right. So I need the funds to help me finish. And then I'm like, I sit there and I go, I talk to my wife because I like to blurt out to her. I'm like, they're not going to fund. And I call it ahead of time because if people in comics, they want their stuff as soon as the Kickstarter's over.
Either they want
the digital stuff or they want to get their physical stuff as soon as possible. They don't want to wait a year or two. And you give them updates saying, here's one page, here's another, because they're putting out their money to you. So I always try to make sure when I do my Kickstarter campaigns, let everyone know that it's done ahead of time. You know, I did pretty much all the projects myself. I've had a couple of great people in my corner to help me with a few things that I needed to get done. So I made sure that whenever I launch, I have everything ready to go. I have a proof. Like I said, I have proof of my books too, so people can see, hey, he's putting his money where his mouth is. He has stuff with him right now, so I can show people that it's done.
And yeah, that's what I think was going to be one of my that was going to be one of my, like, you know, compliments to you. It was like, man, it's like you almost have this done already.
Before you even launch
the Kickstarter.
Yeah, it's like,
yeah, like you have it right there in your hand.
Yeah, like,
that's awesome.
Make sure you have the book. At least show a proof of your book.
Show something, yeah.
Yeah.
In hand.
So people can be like, hey, I'm going to get it now because he's showing me he did it ahead of time. So that's what I think that's what most artists need to make sure they do, is to have great rewards. Don't go over budget and go crazy, because remember, if you have artists, I'm lucky that I pretty much do everything myself. Make sure you have the cash available to pay your artists so you don't have to sit there for a long time. If you have people on your team, you know, deliver on your promises, because people will remember that in future campaigns. They will remember if you messed around and lied to them. Because a customer, once you lie to a customer, they won't come back.
They're done.
And I've seen it time and time again. Like, if you say you have something and it's not done, they're going to leave. They won't come back.
What kind of marketing do you do?
Obviously,
podcasts.
I go on Facebook. I pretty much call comic book shops here in Oklahoma. I have my own print link with Mixum. So people, if they don't want to back my Kickstarter, when my Kickstarters are funded, I usually, right after they're funded, I go on and put my books on Mixum. So people who didn't back the book, they can go buy it off my Mixum. And they can get it instantly. And then I'm trying to get into cons now, which is pretty cool. Nick Goltra from TulsaCon, I sent him my Bloodsable book, and he's already want me to come to Comic Cons next year. And I plan to come to one in October. I think it's called Tulsa Horror Con. So I plan to just show up there and show some love and show my books off over there. So yeah, I've been trying to do that. I share my stuff on pages on Facebook, and I have my own YouTube. So whenever I do videos and stuff, I show people processes and time lapse of, you know, things I'm doing with my books and stuff, so people can see that too. So I try to go everywhere.
What's your YouTube?
It's Rydesho. It's Rydesho. It's my wife and son's name put together.
Right. So Ryd.
Escho.
Cho. Okay. I'll make sure.
And I have a link tree, so people can check out my link tree and stuff on Kickstarter. I think it's on my Facebook.
Is your link tree on your Insta?
It should be. It should be like the first link.
Double check.
And if it's not, it's probably going to be my Mixum. But I'm pretty sure it's my link tree.
Well, right now it's a Kickstarter, so.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think I'll put it back up there on my Insta. It's probably on my Wakeverse account, so I'm going to put it back up there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, let's look at the Wakeverse account. That was one of my next questions.
Yeah, and I have an alternate.
And your Kickstarter. Perfect. I will put these up there.
Yeah. Yeah, because my next
question was, what was the Wakeverse? Because is that like your publishing company behind
the
scenes?
Yeah, that's my little publishing company. And it's not a multiverse. I try to keep everything in the Milky Way galaxy, try to keep it, you know, in a tight continuum. I don't want to have multiverses. We may have alternate versions of characters, you know, because the Milky Way galaxy, it's massive. So we might see alternate versions of the same characters from, you know, different stars and different planets away. But I want to make sure everything like is in continuity into one little space. You know, I have a couple of characters in the future that won't be coming back. So I plan to have some, you know, good juicy bits that here and there in the future. But yeah, I want to make sure I do Crescent Blue, did it first, Blood Sable, do Liar, because those were the first three guys I had my stories done, and then do my Silent Thunder character, Flash Wave, Zoo Jack. I'm going to have my Red Cloud Force team that I already inked and put some flats on, so Red Cloud Force is going to be done soon. And then I have a
glow stick. So you're writing and artist, writer and artist and everything.
Yeah, sweet, and I love it. I love doing that. You know, I love taking the time to, you know, and
how long does it take to make one comic?
One comic, I usually take about 6 or 7 months, usually, give or take.
Okay.
Like, I try to work on them during, like, my Kickstarters and during, my downtime. So I'll pretty much, in the next couple of months, I'll be done with my Red Cloud 4 story. So I'll be done doing that one because I'll be doing Liar. Take some time off until January, February, and then I'll be done with that and then work on my one-shot glow stick story. I'm probably going to have that one on. I'm going to try fund my comic with that one, see how that does over there. So I'm just trying different avenues with, you know, where people would want to see my stuff. So I'm trying to expand everywhere I can. I have a lot of good friends who, you know, help me. And, you know, I'm pretty sure I need to start emailing lists. So, yeah, I've got things in my head that I want to do to expand it even further. So, yeah, everyone who's been in the game before me, I always ask them. Like my friends at Cats of Craze, Sam and, you know, Medina over there with Wonder Duck and Duty. I talked to them a lot, and they gave me some good advice. And Comic Crusaders, Omega, he's given me some great advice on stuff too. So yeah, I take all the people who's been here for years before me, I take all that, you know, all that juice in and just soak it up and be like, how can I just do as good or better?
Yeah, I love that. Yeah. And I love how your Kickstarter has the blank cover idea. I'm stealing that. I know everybody does that, but I'm stealing it from you. Just so you know, I'm stealing it from you.
Yeah, like I said, if people want to draw their own Liar, or if they want me to, I'll draw a Liar on the front if they want me to. Don't matter. Because I would love to get people. Cool. Yeah. I want people to enjoy making, if they want to make their own Liar or if they want me to. I don't bother me. I love drawing my characters. I know Crescent Blue and Blood Sable and Liar like the back of my hand. I can draw them all day without any question.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I wish I could draw. I'm going through this whole process of, you know, comics and, you know, doing the show, and I do the show with my daughter once a week as well.
Yeah.
You know, her and I do that show, which is a lot of fun. We created, you know, Panel Pete, my little mascot here.
Yeah, it's like so a cool comic panel. I like that logo. I thought that was pretty neat.
So we're writing a comic, and but I just don't, I'm going to have to probably hire an artist because I'm not good enough to draw that, all of that. So not how I want it and I envision it. Yeah. I'm not good enough.
Yeah.
So I'm going to, I'm looking for an artist.
Yeah, I know a couple of good artists. I know a couple.
Sweet.
Yeah, so I'll definitely send their names to you because there's a couple of good ones, like smaller guys who, you know, who do great jobs. I'll shout one guy out that I know who I wish I had on Blood Sable, who did like the first 6 mock pages. His name was Frankie D-Man. He has like a manga type style. He loves to draw Dragon Ball Z and stuff like that. So Frankie D-Man, he has a great style. Love his like Dragon Ball Z type of stuff. I wanted that for Blood Sable. And then my friend John, he did the pencils and inks, and I colored everything. John Coates, who's the owner of Enemy Entertainment. So he did the pencils and inks for Blood Sable. I did all the coloring and all the lettering, and pretty much wrote Blood Sable, my character. So it was cool to have him in my corner on that Blood Sable issue 1. And I plan to do issue 2, 3, 4 myself, because I know I want the art to look for that. So yeah, Blood Sable issue 2, I already have the first 4 covers already drawn for that one all. And I love them. I love them so much, the way I put them together. I'm glad, because at first I was a traditional artist. And then, you know, I was talking to my wife one night and I was like, I want to get doing digital and try to enhance the art a little more. You know, Liar's my last traditional artwork before everything else is going to be pretty much digital inks and stuff like that. So Liar's the last one. I penciled and inked it, and then I digitally colored it. So Liar's the last little traditional type of art.
So you're going to try to draw. That was one of my next questions too. If you were digitally or traditionally or a mixture of both. So I guess
I do both. Like I recently, when we were leaving, we went to the library and I had they had this little notepad, and I grabbed a pencil and I just drew Blood Sable, Crescent Blue and Liar traditionally. And then I took the pictures of them, and then I just put them together digitally. So I'll be showing those off soon, because I had fun just drawing my characters like that. You know, I try to, you know, if I want to just, you know, because I might with glow stick, I have all the pages right now. I might pull out my pad and do what I did with other stories and just do mock mocks, you know, drawings of each panel and then put it into Procreate and then actually draw over it digitally. So that's pretty much my plan all the time. I usually do traditional, like, kind of sketches, and then I go into Procreate and just finish it all up that way.
Do you have any specific rituals or habits when creating that you have to do?
I have to make sure that, you know, when I do a story, I write it out all first. I don't like to create a story until it's done. Like, I guess it's just a weird thing for me. I just like to write my stuff out first. I love to sit and enjoy the creativity up here and then write stuff out. And then when I'm making a comic, do it each panel the way I just do it, the way I wrote it. And it comes out even better with the way when I read it and then I draw it, I'm like, oh, that's exactly how I wanted it because I thought of it that way. So that's usually good. How I do it. And then usually perfect. when I'm just drawing, I like to watch other artists draw while I'm drawing. So it gives me like some extra creative juices. I don't know why. I enjoy listening to, you know, just artists doing their techniques. And I just like to sit and draw. And it inspires me the most is when I see other artists creating their original characters. I'm like, all right, I'm going to go draw my characters now. So I always like to do that too. So yeah, pretty much. And then when I'm sitting around the house, I like to just create old artwork that I have. I like to see if I'm better at my stuff, at my, you know, craft. I usually go back and I pick other art from, you know, years ago. I'm like, how can I enhance it and make it better? So I love to do that as well. I love to, you know, before I do a comic, I like to go back and see how I've done, you know, since then. And so far I'm lucky. I've gotten better and I'm going to continue to get better. I still have to work on my coloring and shading a little bit, but I love the way I'm doing my poses and stuff, trying to make sure the body and anatomy looks really good. So I'm glad I'm doing that a lot better nowadays.
Yeah, it looks good. The stuff you sent me, it was pretty good. What is your biggest challenges you faced in creating art?
Biggest challenges definitely was, you know, trying to get people to love my characters as much as I do. I think when you try to create, you know, your own independent stuff, you want to have people enjoy your stuff as much as you do. And it's been challenging, you know. At first when I did Crescent Blue, I love Crescent Blue. He's literally the mascot of my world. Second is Bloodsable for sure. Those two characters, I enjoy those two with all my heart, and I have sequels for them already written down for years to come. And it's always hard to, you know, say, enjoy, I hope you back my project because I put my hard work into it. I hope you love these characters as much as I do. And just trying to get that audience is harder than some people make it seem. Like the people who've been in the business for a long time, they make it look easy. They make it look so easy to be able to, you know, get people behind their projects and stuff like that. So yeah, being independent, you have to grind a little harder. And you know, sometimes it doesn't feel like it's rewarding, but you know, so far I've been lucky. Like I said, I haven't made huge, you know, Kickstarter, you know, hundreds of thousands, but I'm proud that every time I get to a project and it funds, I did it. I set out my, you know, goal. It got completed, and that means I can move on and do, you know, bigger and better things. So it just shows me like, hey, you're there. Just got to keep grinding. So that's keep what I grinding. Usually do.
That's
yeah.
where we're at.
Yeah.
I like, you know, talking about that and like how we're all in this together. You know, we're all here to help each other. And, you know, I'm not big, you know, by any means, you know, but if I can help one person see your book, that's, you know, that's enough for me, right? Like, that's
yeah,
amazing.
That's all that matters to me.
Slowly grow and we'll get there together, you know?
Yeah. And since I had, you know, my Mixum, when I finally have my print link put up, I've had people buy my book. I've never had people buy my books off a website before. So when I finally was able to do my own print link, I've had people say, hey, I went to your Mixum and I bought your books. And I was like, yesterday, one person bought one book and it was Bloodsable. And I was like, yes, I was just sitting there fist bump in the air. Cause I was like, you know, that's so cool that someone, you know, decided
someone
to stop
bought
by
that
it.
You don't,
yeah.
you know, that you don't know bought your yeah. book that you worked on. I mean, yeah, that's gotta be very,
yeah,
you know, like, very rewarding.
It is so much. Yeah. Like anybody
that's
who's in,
awesome.
You know, an independent creator, just that,
for
that,
sure.
even if it's just a little book, if you create it and someone gets it, it means the hard work is, you know, paying off, and that's really the best for me. Yeah.
Do you put any Easter eggs in your books?
Yes, I have Easter eggs in Liar. So we'll get to, you know, because Liar was in Crescent Blue. We got to see those two fight, you know, because yeah. So I don't want to give too much away for Crescent Blue, but that was a great story that I enjoyed. I wanted Crescent Blue to have a adversary in his life show up. And Liar showed up, and we got to see that battle. And then in Liar, we get to see, you know, the consequences of that battle. We get to see a new villain that I've had for years, Crescent Blue's original villain. So we'll get to see Liar talk to that original villain. They get to chat about the fight that happened. And Liar's kind of skittish because he doesn't like this villain. This villain is a very powerful villain, and so he's not trying to run his mouth to this guy. And so we get to enjoy that. And then in my Red Cloud 4 story that I'm doing, I got a couple little hidden Easter eggs in like some of the spaceships and stuff. So you'll see a cool little logos and stuff put in there. So that's cool. Yeah, I try to put a little bit in every story that I have, just a little sneaky in there.
Trying to start a podcast but feeling stuck? At Aquatio, we help creators make waves with everything you need to bring your voice to life. Hosting, recording, editing, and marketing. Whether you're starting from scratch or just need a little help polishing your sound, we're here to hydropower your creativity. Comment on this video or DM us today and let's dive in. We just finished up it was almost perfect timing because you finished the Easter egg question. So my next question was, and I think I already know the answer to this, but which one's your personal favorite? Which character is your personal favorite?
Oh, that's a hard one. But I honestly, in my opinion, it's not Crescent Blue or Blood Sable. It's actually my Red Cloud Force team that I plan to come out with because I made that one all on my own. Okay. That one is an awesome one that I made, you know, because my wife, she helped me create Crescent.
Okay.
My son helped me create Blood Sable.
Very cool.
And so when I wanted to create something for myself, my Red Cloud Force team was something that I wanted to do. I love Mass Effect. I love outer space and sci-fi stuff like that. So I wanted to create my own commander, and his name is Commander Nueus Omna. And I came up with that name because I used to be a CNA.
Okay.
So I wanted to use the CNA term for a commander. So when I created Commander Nueus Omna, I just wanted an awesome commander who held down the fort, who commanded his will across, Pluto. So people get to see his just great commanding skills and his strength and how he loves his home world and how he loves, taking care of people that are in his corner. So yeah, that's a 24 page book that I just had so much fun creating that little world. And the Rocketeer was another inspiration for my, Red Cloud Force and the Power Rangers kind of sort of. Okay. So it was like when I created my Red Cloud Force commander, I was like, I wanted him to pretty much be a character that I've seen through like my coaches and people that have, supported me and showed motivation in my life. So I wanted to have him be just the one character who comes in, we'll see him in later issues. Who's like, I'll help this team as much as I can, as best as I can. And we're going to get everybody out alive. So my Red Cloud Force is the thing that I love the most, honestly. And I can't wait for it to come out next year. It's just going to be a blast. You get to see all the characters I created all on my own.
Heck yeah.
Just, you get to enjoy, like, if people love Guardian of the Galaxy and stuff like that, they'll get to enjoy these characters in that book. Because I'm showing off every character that I've made in that book. You'll get to see either on one page or two page. So we'll get to see my commander and his brother. You'll get to see the flag, the representation of my Red Cloud Force. You'll get to see the world and the enemies of that world, the Dimneck. So you'll get to see the villains there, and you'll get to see Cypheris, who's the big main villain in that one. And you'll get to see a lot of great stuff. I don't care if I spoil it. I love that doing that. I'm still enjoying putting the colors on it and, the way I wrote it. I think people are going to love Commander Nueus Omna. I think they're going to enjoy the way he just makes sure his team is his uptight priority, and the people that he protects are important to him. So he's literally just a one-man wrecking crew. So if you like Judge Dredd and stuff like that, you're definitely going to love my, Red Cloud Force story.
Well, I would have got it wrong because I didn't even know about that character yet. So,
but that's... I'll send you an email and show
that'd be awesome.
Some of the covers. I'll spoil it.
Well, you'll have to be back on when it comes out, next year. I'll have you back on and you can.
Yeah, I plan to have it. I plan to launch it on my birthday in May. So
okay.
In May, it'll be done. So I plan to launch my birthday.
Yeah, let me know ahead of time because I'm booked through the end of October at the moment, which is crazy. So
you're good.
I'm starting to book November right now. It's insane.
You're
awesome,
good, man. That means people are. Yeah, that means people enjoy coming on. That's
awesome. Yeah, I mean, that's what I love about it. if you would have told me 6 months ago that I'd be doing this, I was like, you're crazy. But here I am. I'm episode, you know, over 30 episodes in.
Yeah. That's awesome. 30, that means it's slowly getting bigger and bigger. Pretty soon you'll have 100. You'll be on your 100th episode, and then 200.
Exactly. So
So it's coming, man.
I have a lot of fun with my daughter too. You know, we have. It can be a pain sometimes because she's 10, but she can, you know, drag out an episode. But a lot of editing sometimes. But it's so much fun though, and we get to read comics together.
It's all good. That's awesome.
You've already kind of touched on a couple, like almost every one of my questions already, which is funny, but go more into like the inspiration behind, you know, what's your biggest inspiration for all of it? Like just creating comics. What got you into that?
What got me into that? Oh man, my dad, I've said this on almost every interview. My dad had this one tape, VHS, when I was growing up, and it had all these amazing 90s style, you know, the 90s stuff. It had Bump of the Night. It had all the King Arthur in the Kings of the Round Table. It had some 80s shows. I can't remember off the top of my head. It had Samurai Ninja Cats on there. It had or the Pizza Samurai Cats. It had Carmen Sandiego on there. It had a bunch of 90s stuff. But there's one that stuck out to me the most, and I love it to this day. It was Techno Man.
Okay.
When Slade holds up the green crystal and he asks for techno power. That's when I got into art. As soon as I saw that intro to Techno Man, when he goes techno power and it goes dun 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 dun, I love that little intro to that you know awesome animated you know show, and it just made me just click. I was like, I want to create my own stuff, and so stuff like that just awesome. Just and I grew up on Cartoon Network. I love DBZ. I actually recorded my first video when Goku was fighting Frieza on Namek. I actually had that on VHS. I recorded it. And so that also was something that got me into art and stuff like that. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, those two for sure, Techno Man and Dragon Ball Z, were the things that got me into art.
I love that. You already touched on this too, but like what do you want readers to feel when they walk, you know, or take away when they read one of your issues?
I just want them to see the love that I put into it. I just want people to know that if they want to get into art, that they can do it too. That, you know, I'm a guy who's doing it pretty much on my own. And if they, you know, have an idea that they want to put on paper, just do it. Because I'm doing it. I want people to see that I can do it. And I just want people to see in my stories that I just put all the love and effort that I can into them. And that's my main goal, is when people pick up a book, they get to see the hard work that's behind it. And if they see that and want to draw, that means I did a good job in portraying what I try to put out there. So if people enjoy reading my stuff and want to get into art and create their own books, then I did my job. I did the best I could, and that's all I can ask for. Because I think everybody has a little creativity in them somewhere.
Oh, 100%. Doing these episodes, you know, with all the creators has inspired me. Everyone inspires me in another way or another idea, you know, to put in mine or my comic or my release or my whatever. We're going to start doing conventions and stuff. We're going to get booths and stuff. I'm committed to one in May in Michigan. And so I'm going to definitely be there. I'll be out in Oklahoma next summer too. I usually go every summer. I go to Oklahoma a couple weeks to visit family. So I'm hoping I can find some stuff out there. And yeah, it'll be fun. But I actually have a time frame. May, I want to release my comic in May by Memorial Day next year. So that's my goal.
That's awesome. That's a good time.
All righty. So who would be, and I almost don't want to ask this question, but I'm going to ask it anyway, because I loved your answer already about how excited you are about the one coming next year that you did 100% yourself, right? You know,
yeah.
But my next question literally on the paper is, you know, who's your dream collaborator? You know, but I think you can answer that, of course. Who would be your dream collaborator? But I do think it's very cool that you're so excited about the one that you're doing yourself. I really think that's cool too.
Yeah. Like everybody, I think honestly, if I wanted to do a dream collab, oh man, I would love to see Liar and Spawn do something together. That would be pretty cool.
Ooh, I love Spawn.
Like that would be like something like that. I would love to collab with Blumhouse and do Liar and something, some kind of film for that. But yes,
cool.
Something like that. That would be pretty cool. I would love to try to, you know, do some stuff with independent comics too. That'd be awesome. Mm. I love the Ripaverse. I love that. I love the way they're doing stuff over there too. So it'd be cool to have Crescent Blue with a couple of characters over there. Like, so it'd be awesome to do that. I would love to also do it with Cayman America, another independent comic book publishing. I'd love to have one of my characters in there because I have an American type of character in my world that I would love to see out there. So yeah, I have a couple mostly independent stuff that I would love to see, that I would like to collab with, which is pretty cool. Advanced Genetics, they've backed Liar. I would love to do something with them in the future too.
That'd be cool.
Just people who's been in the business, yeah.
Yeah.
Just do something that people who's been in the business who've backed me. Wiseacre Comics, I'd love to do something with them with my characters. I have a couple of black characters I would love to have, you know, get off the floor and do stuff with. So that would be pretty cool too. I have a couple of assassins that could work in that world. So that would be pretty awesome to do that with them.
I think it's really cool how the indie comic, you know, like with other indie comics, because I've been thinking about that too. And a few interviews ago, guy mentioned it to me, you know, like I was taught, it was when I first created this, like a week later. And he was like, oh, you should just put them in a billboard in my comic. I was like, oh, that'd be cool. You know, just a billboard of Panel Pete, like in his comic book, right? And then I started thinking after I started writing my comic, it's like, you know, because part of it's set in a comic shop. And one of my challenges was like, man, so if it's in a comic shop, what are the covers of the books that are on the shelf in the comic shop? And how cool would it be is everybody that I've interviewed that's written a comic, their comics are on the shelf in the comic shop in my story. Like, how cool would that be?
That'd be pretty cool, man. I would send you an image in a heartbeat. I'll send you awesome. An image after we're done here so you can put it in there.
You know, so that's part of my goal is to everybody I interview that their comics are going to be on the shelf instead of, like, obviously I'm not going to put a Marvel or DC comic in, you know, my comic book, right?
Yeah.
They're not going to allow that.
Yeah.
Not paying for that either. So,
heck no.
I mean, unless they let me put Thor or something in there, I might do that. But Thor is my favorite. But we'll get there. But yeah, so that's actually just made a note to add it to my list. I'm going to ask everybody I interview, all right, can I put your comic in my comic shop? So that'll be
fun.
That's
cool. That's a good idea. That's cool.
What is one thing that you, like, piece of advice? Like, we talked about the advice for Kickstarter. What about for creating comic books? What advice would you give somebody like myself or other people that want to create?
Like I said earlier, like, make sure your stories are written out and reach out to other independent publishers or people who've done books before you and ask them for advice, because people who've done it before you, they know the groundwork. They know how to, you know, do great on their Kickstarters and stuff like that. Those are the type of people that definitely I've reached out to be like, hey, how should I do better at my writing? How should I do the panel layouts and stuff like that? That's a big, great advice I would give to people is ask people who's done the best before you, because people who've actually had great campaigns and have done things and are selling their books right now, those are the people who are going to give you the best advice. That's not it. The people who've just started. The people who just started, they may give you some advice, but, you know, it might work, it might not. But the people who've done it before, they're definitely going to be like, hey, this is how you should do it. This is how you should do your lettering. This is how you should write the story. This is what your characters should do. Make sure you have this plot this way. Make sure your characters for future stories, if you want to write like a to be continued, to just give people a little teaser for next time. So yeah, definitely if you want to get into doing comics, definitely reach out to people that you've seen on Kickstarter who've been doing this for years and know how to get their books published and know what they're doing. Those would be the best people to reach out to first.
I love that. So where are your books available? This is shout that
you
out.
Can. Yeah, you can find my books on Mixum. I have a print link that people can literally go to my Mixum print link and they can order my book and it'll get shipped straight to wherever they want it to go. No middleman. Mixum will print it and it'll ship to right to your home. So if you want to get the books I've already had published, the ones that launched on Kickstarter, they're already on Mixum right now. The ones that got successfully funded, I make sure that everyone that gets successfully funded, that one, I put them up there so people, if they missed out on my campaigns, they can go back and get them if they want. And with Mixum, also make sure you can have previews of a couple pages so you can look on the inside. And if you like what you like on the inside, you can get the book and have it your own.
And then we've got, obviously, the Kickstarter. So everybody go back to Kickstarter.
Yeah. And I plan to put my link tree back in. I wanted to make sure that people saw my Kickstarter first. So I'm going to go back after I'm done here and probably put that in there too. Have my, like my other link in there. So people
send
can check
that me to
out
me too, please. On, send me an email with your link tree and I'll make sure that's in the show notes and stuff for people to go over. So I got a few more fun questions, but then I want to open up the floor for you real quick. Is there anything that you want to cover that I didn't ask about?
You're good, man. I'm enjoying the questions. I enjoy it. This has been out of left field. I enjoy answering questions that I haven't heard yet. I've had people, usually with some podcasters, they usually ask me the same stuff, so I like have it memorized. But you've given me some awesome ones that I'm just like, I'd love to answer it. Okay. I love to answer stuff out of the blue. I enjoy podcasters who throw me side balls and side curves. I love that.
Awesome. Well, I I've worked on these questions for a few months now, you know, and I tweak them here and there, but most of them are the same as I've started with. But I like opening the floor up a little bit just in case, like the last thing I want is to be like the guest to think, dang, I really wish you would have asked me about this. Right. So I always want to give like the opportunity, and I appreciate what you say, because that makes me feel, you know, I love self-admiration, you know, so pour it on. But, I don't ever want a guest to leave and be like, dang, I really wish we would have talked about this, you know, or so.
You're good. You give me some great questions, and I actually got to talk about stuff I haven't talked about yet, which is pretty cool.
Awesome.
So I'm good, man. The questions are great.
Well, now I got some fun questions, you know, more just generic, like who's your favorite superhero or who's your first favorite superhero?
My first favorite was Batman, but I always loved Wildcat from DC. I love that Wildcat was literally the trainer to Batman, and I think he's undervalued in DC way too much, because that guy, Wildcat, he's a boxer, but I read his backstory. He knows more than just boxing. That dude is a war machine, and that he's getting older and he's still able to do stuff like that is pretty cool. So Wildcat, yeah, definitely one of my favorites for sure.
Awesome. Do you remember the first comic book you ever read?
Ooh, first comic book. I read, my wife a couple years ago got, her cousin had a bunch of comics. And there was one comic that stood out to me. It was DC 52 and it was Batman Requiem. And it was just the panels. It didn't have any words, anything. It was after Robin died. So Batman was going around just taking out vigilantes and criminals and all of his bad guys.
Right.
And you could just see whoever did the art did an amazing job. They showed the portrayal of Batman being angry and he was hurt. But, you know, he was still had to do his job and take care of Gotham. And I love that there was no words. It was just you could see Batman in his pain because his pretty much his son was dead. So all he did was just take it out on the villains that have cost him so much pain. So it's pretty cool to just read that. The art was perfect. I love that there was no words and that you got to just see the emotions on the page. So that one, without a doubt, has to be my favorite. I love books that, you know, don't say a lot, but they give you enough through the emotions of the character to give you all that you need.
And through the
art.
So
I'd love that.
G.I. Joe just did that recently. It did like a 6 or 8 issue run of silent missions, and there were no words in any of them.
Yeah.
There was one on like each character. I got them. They were pretty good. And it was really funny. In one of my earlier episodes, I had my oldest daughter on, and I made some joke. You know, I'm dad jokes. You know, I gave her the book, and I'm like, go ahead and read this comic, you know, and she started laughing because in the middle of the episode, because I told her to read it, and there was no words in the whole thing, so it was pretty funny.
I just think if you're, if you're able to convey a book like that, you hit it out of the park.
Yeah.
Like I think if you can show your character's emotion, you don't need words, because people, if you convey it with the best of your ability like they did, I could tell what was going on. I didn't need to read a single word because I knew exactly
I'm gonna look
what
at
was
that.
Happening.
I'm gonna look for that.
Yeah, it's called Batman Requiem, and it's a new issue 52.
New issue 52? You don't
DC
know which,
52.
You don't know which number is it, do you?
No, I got rid of them.
No worries.
I got rid of them. But yeah, it'll show, because I had like the whole, my cousin, he had like the whole list. He only had like one book missing, and I got to read the Joker when he had his face pretty much ripped off, which was crazy. I, I didn't expect that type of Joker to be around, but that was pretty cool. I didn't take on Joker without his face, so I thought that was...
All right, well, the next question. If you could live in any comic book universe, which one would it be?
I'm living in Metropolis. Okay. Gotham's too much. Gotham's got is hell. Metropolis is way better. I'd rather deal with Superman's villains. Those are easier than what Batman has. That man has some damn noir villains that'll never disappear.
That's a good answer. If you could have any superpower, what would you choose?
Oh, man, that's a good one. I love the movie Jumper. I like that, where you could jump. If you thought of something in your head, you could be there and do whatever you wanted. I think that's a cool ability to be able to transport yourself anywhere you think in your head. So that would be a cool ability.
I like that a lot.
Yeah.
All right. Which comic book character would you want as your sidekick? So if you could pick any character, Batman, anybody, as your sidekick, who would it be?
Oh, my sidekick? It'd probably be Deadpool. I love his quirks and stuff. I think because I love humor, so he'd be funny as hell to me. So I'd be all right. And he pretty much can't die. So, I mean, I'd have a great sword master and comedian beside me. So that'd be pretty cool.
I love that. All right. If your life were a comic book, what would the title be?
Oh, my gosh.
I know. That's a tough one.
Yeah. I don't know even what I would call it. I guess it'd be called Knocked Down and Got Back Up Again, because, oh man, and my life has been just, I've had a lot of struggles and stuff in my life, but I've also had a lot of great things. So, you know, I've been knocked down, but I've had a lot of, you know, I've been, like I said, I grew up in a broken home. My father was an alcoholic. I watched my mother walk out on me, and I promised I wouldn't be like them. So I made sure I got through high school with top honors. I went to college, got my associate's degree. I went to Bacone College. You know, I was able to just do cool things like that. I had my own family. And then I decided I want to get into art and do that too. So it's had a lot of great things, and I've been able to publish some books. So, you know, the storm happened. I've had a few bumps in the way, you know, therapies happened. Yeah. I've had to go and, you know, for that, to, you know, get some of that off my mind. And then just, I'm here. So, you know, got knocked down. I'm up. Still, you know,
there's a great theme song for that too.
Yeah. So yeah, that's awesome, man. Yeah.
Yeah, I love how every episode it goes back to that, you know, just, you know, mental health and the importance of it. And,
yeah.
You know, you seem to have a great outlook and great future. And
yeah, I've always tried, like, even when I was at my lowest, I always tried to have a good outlook on life, because I was like, you know, it can't always be this way. Especially if it's my life, I can make it better. And I did. And it's had its hiccups. You know, I'm not a perfect person. You know, God knows it. I'm not a perfect person. You know, sometimes life gets the better of me. But, you know, I keep going forward. So that's all I can do, because I can't go back. I can't replay time. All I can do is just be better the next day.
That's right. Well, I really appreciate you jumping on, you know, with me. You're welcome to come back. Just reach out anytime.
I will. Thank you for having me on. I know it's been, what people don't know, there's been a little, you know, side hiccups between here, but I appreciate you having me on, man. Thank you so much.
Internet's a thing. It's a stupid thing. Yeah.
And I, like I said, I just moved, so I'm trying to hook up the new AT&T Air Wi-Fi that they have. So that's been horrible. I'm literally on my wife's, I'm on my wife's hotspot. So it's like, I'm lucky. So being on her hotspot's been keeping us alive, because our son, he has autism, and we've been watching Disney movies, so that's what's keeping him calm. Yeah, he loves The Good Dinosaur, and every time I watch it, I'm like, I pick the flaws out. I'm like, this could have happened better. This could have been better here. The dinosaur didn't have to do this. Yeah, I've just been picking it, because I've watched it so many days in a row. But I want to just, my wife and son have been just the best inspiration for me, and with Liar, I was able to take some of that, you know, dread that happened in my life, and have a character that, you know, in the first 13 pages, you'll get to see a portion of my house. You'll get to read what Liar says about things in that house. You'll get to see my father in the book. I actually drew him in there. So you'll get to see Liar make people pay for their debts in that book. And you'll get to see a cool monster battle of the Lurch. He's an awesome villain that my wife named, because I didn't know what to name the character. And she said, the Lurch. And I looked it up, and it has a cool meaning behind it. I forgot it off the top of my head. I have it written down, but if you look it up, the Lurch, it's a definition, I think, about of moving tendrils and stuff like that. So, and this character has that, and I didn't even know that until I looked up his name. So his name literally fits him, which was perfect. Fits him
perfectly.
Yeah, so it was awesome to just, she gave me that name, and I'm like, that's actually really cool to go with that character, because it's almost him to a T.
Right.
So, yeah, so it's just been a great ride, and I'm just proud of it. Like, I started here. I'll show this off if it can pick it up. Oh, wait, it can't. But it's just a picture of my original art for the book. And then I'm going to, if people want original art, I have my 50 pages here, right here in front of me, so people can get a physical copy of my, of the book if they get.
Cool.
Yeah. So if people want a physical piece of the book, they can have it. Because all it's going to do is pretty much sit in my folder that I have it in. I would love for it to have a home where it can be shown off for people to see. So, yeah.
You can sell it at conventions, too.
Yeah, I plan to do that a lot, too, because I can get prints of them, too, with whatever
paper. You get prints and sell the prints or sell originals for even more.
Yeah.
That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah.
Well, dude,
but thank you again for having
me on.
Yeah, it was.
Thank you for being on.
I always love talking to people who, you know, are either getting started or have been here for a while. So, hearing that you've done 30 episodes and I'm here right now, right in the middle, because I know this is going to go up and up, because there's going to be a lot more creators who are going to, I know there's going to be more creators who are going to reach out to you. I know that without a shadow of a doubt, because I've seen more projects go up on Kickstarter daily. So I know there's going to be people reaching out to you probably by either the end of this week or next week or the next month. There's going to be people trying to reach out and find it. Yeah.
And so people seem to enjoy the episode. So
yeah,
I've been getting a lot of good feedback.
And I watched a couple of them. I saw my friend Ronnie from Radical Comics. I saw
Ronnie,
him on there.
Yep.
So I watched
he was
him.
Awesome.
I watched him on there. So that's when I was like, maybe I should reach out and see if I can
be
on
there. I did Elijah from Radical. I just did Jay from Radical. That one's not out yet. That one's going to come out at the end of September.
Yeah.
I've done 3 or 4 of the Radical guys.
Yeah.
They're pretty cool.
That's awesome. Yeah, because they have great characters over there, too. All-Star is a great, cool character. So right. I like All-Star. All-Star's pretty awesome. And the Pen and Pad, he's an awesome guy. They're doing a collab together, so there's a bunch of indie comic people together doing like a little fight with all their independent characters. So one of my characters, Night Steel's in there. So
Sweet.
You know, I've been trying to talk to the guys about maybe publishing that as a book, to have the independent book for when they do the independent battles, to have it, you know, try to sell it. So that'll be pretty
right.
cool. So yeah, I've been throwing ideas over there. But yeah, Ronnie knows what he's doing. Radical Comics knows what they're doing over there. Yeah.
That's awesome. Well, shout out to Radical. He's come up a lot in the episode, so it's pretty cool, which is fine. I love we're all in this, like I told Ronnie, we're all in this together, you know, said that earlier.
Yeah, and it's just awesome, and I have a great outlook. Wakeverse is going to be awesome. Wake Comics is going to do great. Like I said, I'm a slow train. The wheels are turning, and they're getting a little faster and faster as the year going on. So I've only been doing these books for like 3 years now, putting them out on Kickstarter, so... I'm getting there. I'm getting that slow-moving train on the track. So I'm working. I'm working hard behind the scenes.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much again.
In a world of heroes, villains, and epic stories,
Braha, Anakin, and their ultimate sidekick, Panel Pete, take you on adventures each week.
Showing off their comic book hauls,
fun trivia and games, honest reviews,
and inspiring conversations with the creators and consumers who make it all possible.
Join in on the conversation.
This is Talking Comics.